This is your KBNF Regional Newscast for Tuesday, June 2nd. I'm Audrey McCabe. Montrose police have been piecing together a chaotic scene that unfolded across Main Street on Saturday morning. It involved multiple gunshots, a death, and a car crashing into Crash Burger. According to investigators, a 42-year-old man, identified as Eduardo Garcia Barrera, was driving a car with Wyoming license plates westbound on Highway 50 into Montrose when he began shooting at other vehicles. The first reports came in around 10:16 Saturday morning. It does not appear that any occupants of the vehicles Barrera shot at were injured. Over the next several minutes, dispatchers received numerous calls about the erratic driver as he traveled along East Main Street. At approximately 10:21, investigators say Barrera pulled alongside a 22-year-old pedestrian in the 200 block of North San Juan Avenue and fired through the passenger side window of his vehicle, striking the victim in the lower body. Witnesses provided aid until officers arrived. The victim was transported to the hospital and is reportedly in stable condition. At about 10:34, officers responded to a crash. Barrera's vehicle had collided with a concrete platform and decorative gas pump outside Crash Burger. Barrera, the sole occupant, was found dead from an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound. Police say Barrera was a part-time resident of Gillette, Wyoming, and had no known ties to Montrose. Investigators have not determined a motive and say the investigation remains active. In other news out of Montrose, the Montrose School Board is holding a special meeting tonight. The only item on the agenda is deciding if Superintendent Dr. Carrie Stevenson should be placed on leave pending an investigation into the conduct of former Olathe Elementary Principal Jennifer Hesse. According to members of the board, complaints from employees spurred the investigation, which is being handled by a third party. But rules dictate that complaints made about personnel are not to be made public. The board voted unanimously to place Hesse on leave at an April meeting. It appears that Stevenson may have also faced some allegations of misconduct related to the investigation into Hesse, though those allegations also have not been made public. The board voted 4-3 to not place Stevenson on leave during that meeting. It's unclear what prompted the board to take up the issue again. KVNF will keep you updated on this story. And in important public health news, a measles case has been identified in Delta. According to the Colorado Department of Health and Environment and Delta County Public Health, the patient is a child under 5 who had received one dose of the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine. The vaccine is typically given to children in two doses, the first dose between 12 and 15 months of age and the second dose between 4 and 6 years old. The child had no known connection to other recent measles cases reported in Colorado and has not traveled outside the state. The lack of a clear source of infection suggests that this case may be the result of an unidentified exposure in the community. Delta County Public Health is investigating the case. The following locations have been identified as known exposure locations. The Delta Health Urgent Care on Wednesday, May 27th from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. and the Delta Health Emergency Department on Wednesday, May 27th from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. Individuals who visited these locations during the listed times should watch for symptoms. For more information, visit cdphe.colorado.gov. Famed election denier Tina Peters was released from prison yesterday, June 1st. Peters, a former Mesa County clerk, was convicted of orchestrating a security breach of her county's election system in an effort to prove unsubstantiated claims of voter fraud following the 2020 election. Peters served 19 months in state prison before her 9-year sentence was cut in half last month by Governor Jared Polis in a controversial clemency decision. Polis defended his decision in a lengthy post to Substack on Sunday, saying he did not agree with her election claims, but commuted her sentence because he felt it was too long. Peters will now face parole for the next 3 years, though the conditions remain unknown to the public. Wildfire season is underway across the Mountain West. After an exceptionally dry winter, and with forecasters predicting a hotter and drier than normal summer, land managers and homeowners are looking for ways to better fireproof homes and landscapes. Some are turning to an unusual wildfire mitigation partner, Hungry Four-Legged Grazers. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, KHOL's Jenna McCurdy reports from the west side of the Tetons in Wyoming.
That's the sound of Poppy munching on a shrub on the bank of the Henry's Fork River in eastern Idaho. She's on the clock.
Some of them will get up on their hind legs, but Poppy's an old girl. She's not motivated enough to to do that, but
Poppy's a brown and black goat, and she's in good company. Caleb Slade takes care of her and around 40 other goats.
And her three babies are Glitter, Glitz, and Glam, which you can see preening themselves right over there.
But they're not just pets. These does and kids are the new hires at the Goat Guy LLC. Slade charges roughly $600 for his goats to clear an acre on properties around the Tetons. This homeowner wants to thin their backyard of hound's tongue, the weed with Velcro-like seeds that clings to clothes.
They did so well that they ate themselves out of a job there, which is good.
Their main objective is eating away at invasive weeds and grasses. Dry foliage around a home means more fire fuel. That's according to Teton County's wildfire prevention specialist, Bobby Clausen.
We really don't want to see vegetation right next to our windows or doorways.
The same goes for branches. And as it turns out, goats like both. A lot. Part of Clausen's job involves visiting homes and giving advice on how to improve their odds of staving off a wildfire.
You know, when we were all growing up with Smokey Bear, we were like, only you can prevent forest fires. And we kind of just got this notion in our head that the wildfires are just big burning trees. But 70% of all wildfires are actually in grass and shrublands and not necessarily in forests.
That's especially since 2025, when Teton County officials designated all private land a high fire risk, not just the edges of town.
We're like a little donut hole in the middle of public lands. So anything people want to do to be hardier and just acknowledge that we live in a fire-adapted community.
Though she says there might be one downside.
What if they eat your favorite begonias?
Slade does that troubleshooting on a regular basis. Steering the goats around a client's property is a big part of his job.
Go into the app. It's a no-fence app.
What's most unique about Slade's business is he doesn't move the goats with barbed wire or electric fences like most ranchers. His fences are virtual.
The app is pretty cool because you can then go in and select the individual pasture. So right now I've got two active pastures.
Each of the adult goats are fitted with a collar that comes with a sensor. Slade draws a boundary on an app on his phone.
And you can kind of see it looks a little bit like West Virginia. It's got some funky shapes to it.
If a goat gets too close to the edge, it gets a little shot.
As the goat gets closer to the boundary, it will give him a tone, starting at a low pitch, ascending. And as it gets to that high pitch, if they don't listen to it, it will give them electric pulse. Very similar to like a dog collar.
Virtual fences are a win for conservationists. It means less barbed wire for wildlife to get tangled up in. And for Slade, it's less labor-intensive. Plus,
it allows goats to be goats.
This technology has been slow to take off in the United States. Sparse cell towers have made for spotty service that can be blocked by mountains. But lately, satellite is helping to improve access. It's also expensive. For 40 collars, Slade would have paid upwards of $10,000, but thanks to a grant from two conservation organizations, Slade was able to pull it off this year. And while fire fuel eating goats aren't exactly new, the way Caleb's doing it is treading in new territory.
People kind of look at me weird when I say that we've got virtual fences and that we run goats. But when they start thinking about it and we start talking about it, there's a lot of really good response to it.
In many ways, he's feeding two birds at once as he breaks new ground in both fire mitigation and conservation. This year is also a bit of a test. He's still figuring out the best way to train the goats and determining which are primed for work and which are better off as pets. For KHOL News, I'm Jenna McMurtry.
That report was shared with us via Rocky Mountain Community Radio, a network of public media stations in Colorado, Wyoming, Utah, and New Mexico, including KVNF. That's your KVNF Regional Newscast. If you're not able to catch our full newscast live on air, it's available on kvnf.org, the KVNF app, or on Spotify. I'm Audrey McCabe.